Come, Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. I want to take a moment to wish all the mothers here a happy Mother's Day and to say how thankful we are that you're here today. Moms, some of you may not realize this, but mothers really are very good at preaching one-line sermons. Mary, the mother of Jesus, for example, in John chapter 2, when they ran out of wine at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, Mary said to the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." That's a great one-line sermon if you ever thought about it. My mom would always preach one-line sermons as well. For example, she preached a sermon on Revelation chapter 19, which talks about the coming judgment, when she said to me one time, "Just wait until your father gets home." She also preached about the nativity of Christ in chapter 2 of Luke. When I left the door open one time, she said, "Are you born in a barn?" She also preached a sermon one time on Matthew 28, which really talks about the importance of reaching out to the whole world and reminding ourselves of the needs of the world. When I would leave food on my plate, she would say sometimes, "Don't you realize that there are starving children in Africa?" She said one time in Isaiah 53:5, she preached a sermon on that, which has to do with the substitutionary atonement of Jesus. When she said to me one time, "This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." She said, preached a sermon one time in Luke chapter 16 about Lazarus and the rich man, when she said, "You want your allowance? And people in hell want ice water as well." I suspect that if my mother were to prepare a sermon related to our gospel lesson today, she might say something like this: "Make sure you have on clean underwear in case you're in an accident." Well, turn, if you will, to our gospel lesson today from John chapter 14, page 1675. And in this gospel lesson, Jesus is, in essence, saying that in order to get to the Father, you have to be clean. You have to be clean in order to get into the presence of God. Now, he's not talking about clean underwear here. He's not talking about the sort of underwear that the Mormons wear to the temple or something like that. He's talking about making sure that we are clean before God in order to get to heaven. And so Jesus said this on one occasion when he was when he appeared to the Apostle Paul, who was then known as Saul of Tarsus. And he appeared to the Apostle Paul, to Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus. And he said this to him: "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So Jesus says that he is preparing a place for those who are sanctified. That word sanctified means being made holy. And he is going to offer them the forgiveness of their sins. And so by so doing, Jesus is proclaiming that he alone can make us clean to stand before the holy God. He goes on to say in our gospel lesson today, in chapter 14, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Well, that's a great one-line sermon right there. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he says, "You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So Jesus was preparing his apostles and disciples for the day in which he would be crucified, arrested and crucified, and then buried in a tomb. Then he would rise again after 3 days, and he would appear to them over a 40-day period. And he was preparing them for the day in which he would rise up into heaven. He would ascend into heaven, preparing them for them a place where they would go when they die. He was preparing a place for them so that when they would die, their spirits would go to be with him where he was. And he said to them, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." In other words, you know the way to heaven. But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And then Jesus said these words: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus was saying, I am the way to heaven. I am the only way to heaven. I am the way to forgiveness for your sins. I am the way to eternal life. Then he says, I am the truth. He's saying, I am the ultimate truth that you need in life. If you want to know the truth, get to know me, for I am the truth. The Bible says that the Word of God is true. The truth of God is found in His Word. Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. We also call the Bible the Word of God as well. And so we know that truth is found in the pages of Scripture. It's interesting that in our first lesson today, it says that the Bereans were considered more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the Scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. And so they recognize that truth is found in the Word of God, and the Word of God points to Jesus Christ, who is also called the Word of God. So Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and then he says, I am the life. He is the only way to receive eternal life. He is the only way that we can live life the way it's meant to be lived. Last week we heard in our gospel lesson that Jesus Christ alone can give us that fullness of life, that abundant life that God promises to give to us. And so Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is the only one that can give us eternal life. And then he adds these words after those famous words. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's saying no one can come to the Father through Buddha. No one can come to the Father through Confucius. No one can come to the Father through Muhammad. No one can come to the Father through any other religious leader. No one can come to the Father through any other philosophy. The only way to the Father, Jesus is saying, is through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now I wonder, do we really believe that? Do we believe that as Christians? If you don't believe that, on what basis do you not believe that? On what basis do you believe that there are many ways to heaven? On what basis do you believe that you can get to heaven through another way? What is the evidence upon which you base your beliefs? As Christians, we base our belief on the true Word of God, on what Jesus Christ, who is the truth, said about that. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. We base our evidence not only upon Jesus Christ himself, but we base it upon what he did. In verse 11, it says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. We believe in Jesus Christ because of the miracles that he did, the people that he raised from the dead, the people that he set free from demonic oppression, the people that heard him teach the wonderful things that he taught, and then ultimately because of his resurrection from the dead, the only one to conquer death, never to die again. We believe Jesus Christ's words because of who he is and what he has done. And so when Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, then we as Christians, if we believe that, we choose to believe that, in fact, he is the only way of salvation. Now, if that's the case, that means that there are many people out in the world that I come in contact with and that you come in contact with who do not know Jesus Christ. They don't have a relationship with him. They don't have a home in heaven. Their sins are not forgiven. They don't have eternal life. And that breaks my heart when I think about the many people out in the world who don't know Jesus Christ. And so I want to try as much as I can to share with as many people as I can about Jesus and his good news, about the gospel that he presents to them. I want to do that for you today by giving you an opportunity to learn a way that you can share with your friends about the gospel of Christ. An easy way. It may not be the best way, it may not be the only way, but it is an easy way to share the gospel with someone else. It's a method that's being used right now with Revive Texas. And so if you look in your bulletin, you'll find a colored card that looks kind of like this, a little multicolored card. And at the top it says Gospel Truth. Now you might say, well, you know, I don't really like this method of preaching the gospel. I don't really like this method of doing it. But I may ask you, what method are you using? And how's that working for you? If it's not working, then maybe you might want to try something else. And this is one of those, one method that you might be able to try. And so if you have a card like this, or as Revive Texas does, they have these little bracelets that you can get and you can wear. And they also have these Bibles that are color coordinated with the cards and also with the wristbands. And you can use that to take a person through the plan of salvation. Today we only have the cards with us, and so if you look at the cards, you might talk to someone and you might say to them, how are you doing? You might come up to them and say, is there anything I can pray for you for? And if they say something like, maybe you can pray for my son who's having a difficult time right now, maybe after you pray for them, then you might give them a card like this, and you might say, this card, I want to give you this card as a gift, as a reminder of our prayer together today. And then as you give them the card, maybe they look at it, and you might say to them, would you mind if I take a minute to explain this card to you? And if they say yes, then say to them, look at the, you notice the first color is yellow, and that stands for sin on this card. So you might have them read Romans 3:23, which says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so as they read that, you might ask them, what does that mean to you? And so they might say something like, well, it means that I've done things wrong and I've really not lived up to God's standards, or whatever they might say. And you might add, you know, I've done that as well. I've sinned as well. I've done wrong things. And it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the perfection of God. And so you might ask them, does that make sense to you? And they might say, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. So then you might move on to the next color, which is black, which represents death. And you might have them read Romans 6:23. So the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so as you have them read that, you might ask, what are wages? And they might say, well, wages are what you get paid for some, for work you do or for whatever you do. And so you say, yeah, that's right. And so our wages, the wages we have for sin, resulted in death. The payment we receive for sin is death. But it says here that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so you might ask them, does that make sense to you? And if they say yes, then you might move on to the next color, which is red, which stands for love. Then you might have them read that passage in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you might ask them, what does that mean to you? And they might suggest, well, I guess it means before we did anything to earn it or deserve it, Christ died to pay for my sins. And you might say, yeah, that's right. Christ died to pay for sin and death so that we wouldn't have to experience the eternal consequences of those things. And so God demonstrates his love for us that while we were still sinners. What does demonstrate mean, you might ask? And they may give us something. They may say an example of what it means. You might say something to them like, today I would say, we demonstrate our love for mothers by giving them a card or giving them something that flowers or taking them out to eat or whatever. So God demonstrates his love for us in before we could do anything to earn it or deserve it. He sent Christ into the world to die, to pay for our sins and for death. So you might ask, does that make any sense to you? And if they say yes, then you might move on to the next color, which is blue, which talks about faith. And you might have them read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one would boast. And so you might ask them, what does that mean to you? And they might say, well, I guess it means that I have to have faith in God or faith in Jesus, and that I can't be saved without faith, and that really it's a gift that I've been given. It's not as a result of the works that I do. I can't do enough good works to earn my salvation, to earn eternal life. And you might say, yeah, that's exactly right. And so if you ask them, well, what does it mean to boast about something? And they might suggest, well, to be prideful about it or to take credit for it or something. And that really is what it's talking about. We can't take credit for our salvation. We can't earn it, or we can't say I'm getting there because I've been good enough or I've done enough good works. And if they begin to understand that, then you might lead them to the real good news, which is found in the next verse. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, the green standing for life. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you might ask them, what does that mean to you? And you might say, well, I guess it means if you tell somebody else that you believe in Jesus, that's good. And you might say, well, that's right. But also you might suggest to them that they might tell Jesus that he is their Lord. They might invite Jesus into their life to be their Savior and their Lord. And if they invite him into their life, then it says that they've received salvation by their faith in that. And it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you believe Jesus is alive and you invite him into your life, then you'll be saved. And you might say confession is made by resulting in a person believes resulting in righteousness, and confession is made resulting in salvation. And so you might ask them, is there anything that's keeping you right now from inviting Christ into your life and making him the Savior of your life? And if they say no, then you might lead them in a prayer. You might say, you might just, in your own words, invite Jesus to come into your life and do so out loud so that you're confessing it before others. And as you do so, then, and believe in your heart that he is coming to live inside of you, then you receive salvation. And so that really is just a very simple way of introducing the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone with whom you might come in contact, someone with whom you might want to share your testimony or also share about the gospel of Christ. You may say, well, I don't know if I'll ever use that, but at least now you have a tool that you might be able to use if you ever have the opportunity to share your faith with someone else. You're going to be encountering people that need to know Jesus Christ. They're not going to heaven. And you may be the only one that is able to share with them about who Jesus is and what he has done, and perhaps what he has done in your life. And as you do so, then perhaps you have helped someone else to enter into the kingdom of God. And that ultimately is the call of the Christian, is to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. One of the things that you do if you happen to win somebody to Christ is you might say to them, I'd like to walk with you on this new journey that you have in Christ. There are resources that are available that I can help you to understand the Christian faith. One of these is used by Revive Texas, the Project 52, that helps a person that is new in Christ to begin to grow in their new life in Christ. There are other resources that are available as well. So we don't want somebody just to come to Christ and say, well, good luck, you're on your own now. We want to help them to begin to grow in their Christian faith. And that really is what becoming a disciple of Jesus is all about. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We would want a person who is converted also then to be baptized and to enter into the fullness of the Christian life through their baptism and through their connection with the Christian church. God is going to bring someone into your life, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but sometime in the future, with whom you might be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And perhaps you might be the one that would help to introduce them into the new life that he promises to everyone who would put their trust in him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you spoke to someone else in our lives and that they were able to share the good news with us in a way that we were able to understand it and respond to it. It may have been several people who shared that with us, Lord, but finally we came to that place in our lives where we invited you to come in to be the Lord of our life. We invited you to be the Savior that we needed and the Lord that we want to follow. Lord, we thank you for those people in our lives who have spoken the gospel into us so that we might have eternal life and a home in heaven. Lord, would you use us as instruments to plant a seed? Or perhaps even to lead someone into your kingdom by sharing the good news of your life, death, and resurrection. The fact that you came into this world because God loved this world so much that you were willing to die for our sins so that we might be able to live in your righteousness. We thank you for these things in your name. Amen.